The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Remember, once upon a long time ago, I had a conversation with a man who told me that Christianity was insane. And I asked him, "Why is Christianity insane?" And he pointed to this line of the gospel that we just heard, where Jesus commands us to love your enemies. And he says, "It's insane because an enemy is someone who you hate. And you cannot love someone who you hate. So if Jesus commands us to love our enemies, that is insane." And I said to him, "Oh, dear friend, your trouble is not with Christianity. Your problem is your dictionary." Okay? Because an enemy does not mean someone who you hate. An enemy is an opponent. In a matter of great importance, like, for example, if you're playing a sports game, you wouldn't call the other team your enemy, right? It's just a game. Who cares? But if your reputation is on the line, or your safety, or the health of your children, and someone is your opponent in such a great importance, that person has made themselves your enemy. Don't be shocked. Jesus never said you would not have enemies. What did he say? He said, "Love your enemies." And to understand the meaning of the word love, we have to remember the difference between a feeling and a decision. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's not a mood. Love is a choice, a decision to do what's best for somebody else, whether they like it or not, whether they know it or not, whether they understand it or not, whether they want it or not. And the most loving thing you'll ever do in your entire life will be accompanied with some of the harshest feelings, because it's, you know, you can do what's best for somebody else all the while they don't understand and they think that you are their enemy, and yet you continue to do good. That is very pure love. And as long as we're on this subject, it's important to know that you're going to do what's best for somebody else. What's best for somebody else is always God's will. It's always God's commandments, which is why you can never say that any sin is love, as a lot of people like to say, because sin is never God's will. Sin is never what's best for somebody else. But you know, you can choose to do what's best for somebody else, even for somebody who's your opponent. So please remember, the command to love your enemy is not a command to have warm feelings for your enemy. Feelings remain. I can tell you, you know, I was bullied on the playground more than 50 years ago, and I still remember. I still feel hurt by it. You probably have similar circumstances. Maybe you still feel upset about something that happened to you as you were driving your car 50 minutes ago, right? No problem. You're not a bad person. There's nothing wrong with you. But if that person who caused those feelings were to appear before you and you were to speak well towards them, act well towards them, even think well towards them, you would in fact be loving your enemy. St. Maximus the Confessor has a test for whether or not you love your enemy. You ready for this? He says, how quickly do you speak well and do well towards those who have heard you, especially when they are not around, especially behind their back? Something to pray about. God does, of course, all the time. He makes the rain fall on the just and the unjust alike. And why? Because it's for their good. One of the most poignant examples of this is actually in the words of consecration. The priest says the Mass, he holds up the chalice, he says, this blood is poured out for you and for many. Wait a minute, didn't God shed his blood for everybody? Yes. But not everybody's going to benefit from it. Not everybody's going to accept it. Jesus shed his blood even for those who would not accept it, even for those who made themselves his enemy. And we must do the same. Now, if somebody wanted to say Christianity was insane for any line in the Bible, I'd give them a little bit of credit if they cited the last line that we heard in this gospel, where Jesus says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Because you could say, now come on, nobody's perfect. I'm never going to be perfect. I won't be perfect if I have so much as a pimple on my nose, right? Well, once again, if you had trouble with that line, I would say your trouble is with your dictionary. Because Jesus doesn't mean perfect as if it means to say have no flaw. That would, in fact, be impossible. Till your dying breath, you will always have flaws. In fact, our very own patroness, St. Therese, dying of tuberculosis, showed a willed moment of impatience with one of the sisters who was caring for her, and she rejoiced. She rejoiced that she showed willed impatience and a flaw towards somebody in her convent, because she said, I have one more claim on God's mercy. It doesn't mean no flaws. What it means is that you're complete. That's how we've always understood that line. The word is perficere, or perfectus, means complete. God's love is always total. He holds nothing back. It's always complete. And we can love that way too. In fact, I'm not fit for heaven until I do. So the difficult people in your life, give praise and thanks to God for them. You need them. They need you. They are the pipe cleaners of the soul. Iron sharpens iron, and we are getting one another to heaven. Let's pray that we should love them as we ought, that we should love them as Jesus himself does. Amen.